Marty Lurie here today on Memories of the Game with one of the great, great baseball men of all time. That is Jim Bouton, an author, pitcher for the Yankees, Pilots, and I even saw him pitch for the Atlanta Braves one time with a knuckleball at Candlestick Park. Jim Bouton, baseball memories, they come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. Your good baseball memory.
Well, I guess one of my best memories is my first game as a Yankee in Yankee Stadium. It was a second game of a doubleheader. I started the game. My parents, my brothers were there, my uncles, aunts, cousins. I must have left about 25 tickets. So I'm pitching against the Washington Senators, and I pitch a shutout, a complete game shutout. But I walked seven guys. I gave up seven hits. I stranded 14 runners. I wore out the bullpen. As a matter of fact, after the game, Ralph Houk said to me, any more shutouts like that, we're going to need a new bullpen. But the best part was I was the last one off the field, and because I was doing some interviews in the dugout, and when I walked into the clubhouse and opened the door, there was a path of white towels leading from the clubhouse door over to my locker, and in front of my locker was Mickey Mantle laying down the last white towel. So here I am, a rookie, and I'm getting the white carpet treatment from Mickey Mantle.
You know, you had that distinctive way of pitching where the hat, you hit the hat, and the hat would fall off all the time.
Well, it wasn't that I hit it with my arm. It's just that my motion was such that I used the trunk of my body to power the ball forward, and snapping my top part of my body forward at the moment I released the ball, the hat would just pop off centrifugal force, and I couldn't keep it on no matter how tight the hat was. And, you know, people thought it distracted the batter, but it didn't, because it came off after I released the ball. Anybody was looking at my head instead of my hand where the ball was coming wasn't going to hit it anyway. But it was a big nuisance to me, because the hat would get all hot and sweaty, then it would land in the dirt, and I'd put it back on my head, and now I got muddy water running down my forehead into my eyes. And, you know, picking up a hat 37 times on a hot day took a lot out of me after a while. So I didn't like the fact that my hat came off, although it did become a sort of a trademark after a while.
The Yankee team that you came up with, still champions, obviously. You won a world championship. Yankee team 1964 went to the World Series against the Cardinals. But Maris, Mantle, you're a kid walking into this. You and Al Downing came up at the, you know, to spark this team. What about walking into this clubhouse? What about meeting these people, working with them?
Well, that was a tremendous thrill. I remember my first week home from my first week at Yankee Stadium, and I was living with my mom and dad at the time. I had just made the ball club. I thought probably I'd be playing in the minor leagues one more year. I never played AAA ball. I made the team from a AA team in spring training. So here I am on the Yankees. I'm not expecting to be on the Yankees. And now I'm sitting at home. I'm having dinner with my parents, and I'm saying to them, well, and today Mickey said, and then Ellie came over to my locker, and then Yogi came by, and you know, to be talking about Mickey and Ellie and Whitey, you know, in conversation with me. So we're on a first-name basis. I was smiling to myself. It was, you know, that I would be actually talking to these guys as teammates.
You got to see a lot of ball in your career. Now when you look back on Mantle, Berra, Howard, people like that, think back to when you were a young man seeing him for the first time. What did it look like?
Well, I think I have a better perspective on it now than I did then. You know, it was thrilling and exciting and sort of awesome to be in their company. But as time goes by, I realize what a privilege it was to be playing at that time with those players. You know, people have asked me many times, "Well, you were born too soon. Wouldn't you like to have the money in the game today?" And I say, "No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't trade my memories and the players I played with back then for any amount of money."
You're a good author. You wrote one of the classic baseball books of all time. It's been updated now. If you had a favorite colorful character in baseball that you've written about, who would that be?
I think probably the most colorful guy in ball four is the manager of the Seattle Pilots, Joe Schultz. He was just Joe was sort of the opposite of Vince Lombardi. You know, Joe felt sorry for us. You know, he told us not to feel bad. We just didn't have the talent. But he was great. He tried to keep the clubhouse loose. He was always saying funny things, you know. I remember during a doubleheader against the Baltimore Orioles, It's the eighth inning. We're losing 11 to nothing. You know, we know we're going to lose the second game. We just don't know what the score is going to be yet. Joe Schultz looks up and down the bench, and he says, "Men, between games of this doubleheader, we have a choice of ham, roast beef, or tuna salad." You know, he's just always breaking the guys up. You know, he was just a very funny guy. And he was always telling us to pound the old Budweiser. I remember one time I'm out on the mound, I'm pitching, I got the bases loaded. Joe Schultz calls timeout, comes running out to the mound, and he looks at me, I look at Joe, and he doesn't have anything to say to me. I said, I tried to help him out a little bit. I said, what do you think, Joe? He said, just zits him, and we'll go in and pound some Budweiser. I never asked him what he meant by zits him. Just zits him, and we'll go in and pound the old Budweiser.
Sal Magley was the pitching coach there, and I know there's a couple of passages about him saying, look, throw it knee-high on the outside corner.
Right. Yeah, Sal always had some great advice. All you got to do is throw that curveball knee-high on the outside corner, no problem. Well, of course, Sal, thanks. That's like the scouting reports we used to get on Sandy Koufax or some hitter. We'd get some scouting report on Ken Boyer before the 1964 World Series was that Sandy Koufax used to strike him out on belt-high fastballs. Oh, that's a big help.
Hey, you pitched, though, you came back with a knuckleball. And you pitched at Candlestick Park. I remember you won the game. What was it like for you to come back and develop that pitch and actually get another shot in the major leagues?
That was probably one of the greatest summers of my life, if not the greatest summer. I was 39 years old. I hadn't pitched against major leaguers for 8 years. My first start was against the Dodgers. The Giants and the Cincinnati Reds were in a three-way pennant race with the Dodgers. The management of those teams was furious that Ted Turner would use a sportscaster who hadn't played for 8 years and pitch him against one of the contending teams, and it was considered they went to the baseball commissioner. They complained about that. Sparky Anderson of the Cincinnati Reds. And so Ted Turner says, well, we'll pitch him against the Dodgers, but we'll also pitch him against the Giants and the Reds. We'll make it fair for everybody. So I lost my game against the Dodgers, but when I pitched against the Giants, I beat them 4-1. It was my first major league win in 8 years, and it effectively knocked the Giants right out of the pennant. And I almost beat the Cincinnati Reds. I pitched a complete game. I lost 2-1. I pitched a five-hitter against them, and it would have been great to beat the Reds, too. But at least Sparky Anderson had the class to say, he did a good job. He belongs here.
Boy, you're a baseball legend. Good baseball memories. I appreciate it.
Thanks. That's all I got now is my memories.
They work. Jim Bouton, Memories of the Game.